Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
All right, Tribe. I'm so jazzed to have a local company that has an amazing global story when it comes to compressed earth blocks. I'm not quite sure what it is, but we've had some really cool guests in the past, and give credit where credit is due. Tradecraft, if you go back, we interviewed Bryce Ballew, the founder of Tradecraft and EMU Systems, and some of the amazing companies out of Tradecraft, and this is another one of those. So we're going to be going in and have a fireside chat with Jim and Lisa of Colorado Earth. Lock and load, here we go. All right. Whenever we have two people, we're going to start and do the speed round. So we're going to start with Lisa. What's your favorite beverage?
Hey, Devin, that's going to be a black tea, and I take it with cream and sugar.
Black tea, cream, and sugar. Awesome. Give us a story and tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Okay, well, that's going to have to be Petra in Jordan. Just amazing rock formations, the way people lived back in those places and what they created is just phenomenal.
Awesome. Give us one cool story from that experience.
Well, I was proposed to by a
Wow.
Yeah. while riding a camel, you know, so I don't know. It was a pretty unique experience.
There you go. We'll leave it at that. And what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena? We like to call the art of construction.
Oh, yoga has been something I do, you know, as often as I can. It's a good relaxer, good for the body and mind. I also really enjoy the water, getting in and on it as much as I can.
Awesome. I can definitely speak the same. Living here in Colorado, it's the beauty of the lakes, but getting in the water, you definitely got to go travel. But that's what's kind of fun about making the destinations even more fun from Colorado, right? Because we have people from right here in Colorado in Studio AOC today. So we got to know a little bit about Lisa Schroeder. Next, we have Jim Hellick. Jim, what's your favorite beverage, my man?
Red wine.
Red wine. Any specific one you would recommend?
Well, I like Cabernet Sauvignons and Merlots are my two favorites. And I lived in California in the Napa Valley for a little while, so I feel a little snobby about it. Napa or French?
Awesome. Cool, cool. And tell us about your favorite place you've traveled.
Machu Picchu.
Oh, wow. One story from that.
Well, it could go on and on, but just, you know, how they put those joints together without having metal or the wheel. And, I mean, it's not like you can't put a credit card in the joint. You can't put a piece of paper in the joint, you know. And, I don't know, it's fascinating to me and a fascinating place.
Cool. And what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the AOC?
People get real bored when they talk to me because I just talk about earth blocks.
Well, we'll leave it at that. I can't wait for this conversation because then our pre-interview, I just had a blast and so excited for this conversation today. We're going to go on a journey and learn about what are compressed earth blocks from a couple experts. But first, let's tee this up. So Lisa, tell us your background of how you got here to running this company of Colorado Earth.
Sure. So if we rewind, I graduated in civil engineering in 1998. I then decided to go to art school for architecture. So I found a quaint little school in New Zealand and went out there in 1999. At the time I was in school, I had to document a project under construction for the course of a year. And I found an adobe home under construction on a nearby island in Waiheke. And from that moment on, I was just taken back at the process and the beauty and the custom craftsmanship, obviously the material. So I documented the project for a year, and then that became the basis of a book that was later published in 2010. So that book is called Adobe Homes for All Climates. And it's really written for the do-it-yourself builder to guide you through the construction process. And so this is all kind of based in New Zealand. I was in New Zealand for about 5 or 6 years and then returned to the U.S. and met Jim in 2007. And we started Colorado Earth just last year in 2017. So that is kind of the short story of
awesome.
My career. Well,
so to make sure I'm understanding this and the tribe understanding this, you're the author of this book, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So you went to New Zealand, you saw it, you wrote a book, that's where the passion was born, and you've been living this passion. So you've put a few hours into learning about Colorado Earth Blocks, and through the way, you met the awesome Jim, who has also been living in this world of alternative building methods. Would you say that's fair?
That's very, very true. Yes.
Cool. Awesome. So Jim, let's hear your story.
If we go all the way back, it'd be too long. but I graduated from a fine liberal arts school in Illinois, Knox College, in 1969, and hopped in my Pontiac Tempest and drove straight to San Francisco. In those lost years, we won't talk about too much, but I got into construction. It was a way to move about the West, which is what I was doing, from place to place to place. And I started out pouring concrete in Denver. And then I got into the Roofers Union. Then I got into the Carpenters Union. And then I started remodeling houses in California in the 80s. It was a lot of fun. Then I came to Colorado in 93 looking for a healthier house for my wife, actually. She suffers from chemical sensitivities. As most people know, well, I don't know if most people know, but you know, modern building materials are full of toxins. And so looking for a healthier house. And I went to a bunch of conferences on straw bales and tire houses and this and that and the other thing. And this is back in the VCR days. And this guy chunked in one of those things. And I saw this machine popping out 300 Adobes an hour. And I went, well, that's it. I was a 5 second sell. I went back to my motel room, ordered a machine, for a guy to bring a machine up. I rented the machine from New Mexico and built my first house. That was in 94, 95. And I've never looked back. I've done nothing but Earth Blocks since then in the southwest of the United States and Mexico and Haiti and Africa and South America, places like that. And meeting Lisa in 2007 was the start of, we didn't know it at the time, but it was the start of something that was going to be pretty important to both of us, which is our current venture at Colorado Earth. And I'm happy to be back in Colorado. I spent 6 years in Mexico, 6 years in Texas, and now I'm back home. So great.
Awesome. Thanks so much for both of you guys setting the stage there and talking all the way through to the state-of-the-art VCR where you were hooked. I love the going on these journeys together of figuring out, where we came from and where we're going. And we've had the pleasure of having so many awesome interviews of people that it's like the episode on biomimicry about everything from the earth has already been made. We just got to go back and find that. Like show 93, where we had greenhouses and we talked about creating toxin and chemical free homes. So we've had some just awesome chats leading up to this. So you can go back and check out other alternatives and reasons for that. And I appreciate you sharing that story, Jim, about your wife, because it's at the end of the day, what makes us all work is you got to find the pain and fix it and following our passions. And I can definitely see the passion with you guys when it comes to compressed earth blocks, but we got to start out by you guys got to help me out. Cause from a third grade level, I have not read your book. I have not used these. I've grown up with these new age methods of building of sticks and bricks that Jim has a different word for those sticks and bricks that we want to learn about and have some fun today. So let's start off with, I want both of you guys to kind of talk to us about what are compressed earth blocks. We'll start with you, Lisa.
Sure. Well, most people may be more familiar with the term adobe. Maybe half the population. I sit on the plane sometimes and I tell people that I what do you do for a living? Oh, I work with Adobe. And they said, what a fantastic computer program. I use it every day. So, but the other percentage of people might understand that the Adobe is a masonry unit that's been around for over 10,000 years. And compressed earth blocks are not too different, but both Adobes and compressed earth blocks are made from the same material, which is a sandy clay source, around the percentages of about 75-80% screened sand, and the rest is clay, screened clay. So we stabilize these blocks with a small percentage of a stabilizer, which is typically lime or cement, and this just adds some greater strength and protection to the blocks, especially while they're being produced. So the difference between Adobes and compressed earth blocks is that the Adobes are made with a wetter, much wetter mix formed on the ground in forms. Once the mud is poured into the forms are lifted off straight away and they are left to dry. A stabilized block can be picked up in the morning and put in a pallet for the final cure. The compressed earth blocks come out of a machine onto a roller and are put into a pallet straight away. So the production is much more rapid with compressed earth blocks, which I really appreciate, especially trying to scale up the business and scale up production and make the product more homogeneous in terms of the results that we produce. So I'll let Jim add on to that as a compressed earth block expert.
Well, you did a great job, Lisa. not much else to say.
I got a question just in transitioning. Is this Colorado Earth company that you started, is it like the machine that you go around and make these, or is it a machine you buy? How does the machine work that you talked about rolling out these blocks?
Sure. All right. Yes, it's a machine, and either or, when you ask about do we roll it around to places and make the blocks, that's not what we've been doing here for the last two seasons. We have a plant in Golden, Colorado, mm-hmm. that the machines stay there, and we make the blocks, and then we ship them out from there. We've shipped to Arizona and Wyoming and New Mexico. So for 20 years, I towed the machines around from place to place, but these last 2 years have been really a pleasure to sit in one place. But we do have another line of equipment coming next spring, coming up to us from my friend Francesco Piazzesi in Mexico. HLA A Tu Casa deserves a nod here, if anybody wants to look that up. Yeah. Francesco's organization has built 35,000 earth block houses in Mexico for people who need them. He's an amazing, amazing man. But he's sending a line of equipment up for us that is a stationary line of equipment. And then the equipment we have now, which is from AECT in San Antonio, Texas, is on wheels. So we're fixed and mobile from this point forward, which will be good. We've got one next spring, actually, where we have to take the smallest machine we have to get, just to navigate the road to get to it.
You know, gotcha. So it's all about scalability, I'm sure. If I put my business hat on, and this whole podcast is for contractors and its affiliates to grow their business, that you have to be flexible on that. And we want to get to where we're going to talk about how to build a village in this. Maybe it'd be better to have it there versus if you're going to do one house of this product, maybe bringing it from a plant, if you will, if I'm understanding this right.
Right, right.
Cool. So we talked about what the block is. Let's maybe take a little bit deeper dive and kind of for our architects and affiliates to say, is this something that you put siding over the top? You put the electrical goes through it? You know, how do you, what do you do for, what kindling do you put around it?
No, you beat me to the word, Devin. Yeah, well, yeah, we try to avoid kindling wherever we can. You know, we build out of earth. I was just joking to Lisa last night. There's a pile of lumber out on some sawhorses in the backyard that we're going to use to build a frame for a sign. And it's some nice lumber, you know, it's cedar and some three quarter. We actually still use plywood, you know, instead of the chips and glue stuff. But I'm looking down at this pile, and I said to Lisa, I said, do you know that pile of lumber right there cost $800? And we're building a sign. And we went, geez, we could, would you rather have that or 18 pallets of earth blocks? You know? But anyway, about the blocks and the walls, do you want to go into that? I mean, what the blocks do for us that other systems don't do is they absorb and release water vapor. Water vapor molecules are the same size or some say smaller than air. So it's not like they're soaking in water, but they're, you know, the walls. There's a term used for it called breathable, which is a little bit of a misnomer. But that ability to absorb and release water vapor and combine with the clay particles in the soil, and that does some amazing things for you in controlling heat and humidity. It's a storage bank. Your wall is standing there storing energy for you and giving it back to you when you need it without fans, wires, or switches. So that's really one of the biggest benefits of the wall. Another is just health. You know, it's an all-natural material. We don't use paint, and we don't put siding, and we don't put sheetrock. We don't use any of those things.
So do you just add different natural elements to have different colors? Or if you don't add stuff to it, and you talked about adobe in today's contemporary or modern movement, how do you make it white or black or colors?
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's one of the things that I really enjoy about this material and changing people's mindsets, and that it doesn't have to look like what people typically think of an adobe wall. The finishes can really be created to their liking. So to answer your question about colors, we do prefer a plaster finish, and that can be colored, tinted with a range of color.
Pastels, palettes.
Powder we kind of add to the finish plaster coat, as opposed to adding it to the mix to make the bricks, because then you're just wasting a lot of color for just the whole block itself. But from an engineering and architecture point of view, the blocks are treated as a weaker concrete masonry unit. So we can go roughly to two stories in the earth blocks as a structural load-bearing wall. We do not need any framing for that. So it's a very simple wall system. Here in Colorado, we do have to insulate to meet the energy code requirements. So our best wall system that we are putting forth is a double width wall. Each width is 6 inches wide, and then there would be 3 inches of insulation between that width. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, you could do a 10-inch interior wall, which would be a minimum structural wall, and then the insulation to the exterior, followed by mesh and plaster. So those are our two wall systems here. And again, there's no, like Jim mentioned, so many trades hit a traditional wall with that sheetrock and that paint and the framing and the siding. And this is cuts it down and cuts down cost as well.
Right. I'm gonna throw a little comment in there. You mentioned the many trades that hit kindling wall. It's, framers and then siding guys and then insulators and sheetrockers and tapers and painters and the finish carpenter. And you've got about 7 trades that hit that wall before it's a done deal. We make the blocks, stack the blocks, and plaster the blocks inside and out. So it's really not a lot of different trades hitting that. And it affects the cost, of course. And given what's happened to the cost of lumber in the last year, I think we can finally say we're cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, we did a cost estimate to prove that. So we are cheaper, and now when you compare materials and labor together, so we're really excited about that.
Cool. Yeah, and you don't know what you don't know. Like, you just get taught in the generations of the crusty contractor that's been around and teaching the next. Where do you go when it comes to this kind of stuff with, you talk about the trades, but where I have to ask the question is, you do still need lights. You do have to have some electrical, and you may need some heating and things like that. So how do you do those kinds of things?
Oh, we don't do those things, actually.
Okay.
Well, no, that's part of the fun is that people's mindset is that when they think of an earthen home, it's like, in this devastating third world country, and it's the
African
no roof
mud
and
hut.
There's nothing. So It's all of these electrical and plumbing services are built into the wall. So it can accommodate all the modern enjoyments into the wall system.
There are several ways to do it, which we really don't want to consume this fire.
Right. Yeah, the call to action will be, I'm assuming you have a website or you guys will have resources that we can put in the show notes if you're interested to take the next step. The journey we're going on today is to talk about this as an alternative way to look at doing construction, right?
Right.
That's right. Although we bristle a little bit at the word alternative. You mentioned earlier, new age ways of building.
Right.
Lisa frequently comments that we're about 10,000 years old.
And that's a fair comment because
we're the original building material. You know, sticks is something that happened as a result of a short-term need after World War II and bam, 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 these things went up real fast. They sold like hotcakes. It stuck, and it's too bad.
Yeah, so my simple mind when I think of alternative is because my little bit of 15 years in the construction arena is that's all I know is building off of sticks and bricks. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what you don't know. So my mind thinks alternative when you guys say go back to the 10,000 years before that is kind of what you're...
Well, and not only that, but worldwide... I've read that 50% of the world's population lives in a home made of earth. And that's often because that's all they have to build with. And most of those are of adobe. So worldwide speaking, it is a common material.
Right. And because we're Americans, this is not necessarily a positive or negative statement, but we tend to think that we know the best way to do everything. So we got into this groove of cutting trees and making sticks out of them and building temporary shelters, and we think it's the American way, it's the best way, and it's really not. We're last pretty much in this technology, at least in the compressed earth block world. You know, there's plenty of advanced earthen builders in New Zealand and Australia and Europe,
India.
We're friends with people in those continents that are they're light years ahead of us. You know, we've been called pioneers here, you know, we're like, you can't be a pioneer if something's 10,000 years old.
Well said. Yeah. And that's the thing of technology. It's like, you know, here on this video conference, I've interviewed awesome people all over the globe on the art of construction, and that's changing how the messaging and how we can all learn together. And that's really my passion of why I started the art of construction was to that go-giver philosophy is I passionately love hearing different perspectives. And a lot of times the best ideas are borrowed. Yeah, you're considered a pioneer in Colorado because this is not the norm. But you're borrowing these 10,000 years of ideas to execute those in your company called Colorado Earth. So I don't think we want to take that for granted. It's like we could just go back to the status quo of just continuing to do that. But pioneers are leaders. And sometimes you can make something old new again. And that's kind of what I'm hearing of being educated from you guys. So I do want to step up a notch. This is like I started the art of construction. Originally, it was within my little window and door company here in Colorado. And we've changed that now to be this global perspective. And windows and doors is the product that I do to make my living day in, day out. But I tell the story out on the art of construction. You guys are using compressed earth blocks, but I want to talk, let's step up a notch. And when we did our pre-interview, you talked about, you know, regenerative and building a village. Take me on a journey there and kind of talk through your guys' passion of let's really dig deep of where you're wanting to go with your product of Colorado Earth. We'll start with you, Jim.
All right. Well, the earth blocks are just the first stepping stone in what we want to do. We're promoting earth blocks in adobe, of course. But what we really, our mission is to build the ultimate sustainable, green, net zero.
Healthy.
Healthy's big. I mean, that's all of these things really revolve back to healthy.
You know, local.
And local. Local labor, local materials, local everything. And
drink local beer. We should build local
houses. Exactly. So, and then that building is the prototype for the village. We really want to promote and create and find the people to do it with us to build the village, the model village. This is how people could live simply, cheaply, healthy. That's the ultimate goal. The blocks are just a stepping stone. You mentioned the regenerative part. Maybe Lisa, you want to take this one?
Well, you did this so well.
Well, it's in the PowerPoint we do over and over, but it's got a little arrow that runs up at a diagonal and starts at the bottom with business as usual, which is, we know we can't do that anymore. Well, some of us know we can't do that anymore if we really want to continue being species. So then the awareness of that created the word green, which has now been co-opted by so many products that are not, that we try not to use it anymore. And then it went to sustainable, which is a much better term. We're trying to sustain, you know, what we have by doing sensible things. But that's not good enough because we've ruined the planet so much already that sustaining what we have is not, we can't go there. So we need to restore the planet. And then the final step in the arrow is regenerative, which is really the term that we need to be not just targeting, but doing. We really need to bring it back. I mean, the number of species on the planet that die every year is astronomical. You know, this can't go on if we want to be here for a while, you know. So we have to regenerate the planet. And that's what hopefully this village will be a model to do. And we're not the first ones to try this or do this, but, you know, here we are in Colorado and we want to do it right here. That's what this is.
So in today's would be like a subdivision, but going back to doing it in a shared style of, like on the premiere, you talked about not everybody needs to own a lawnmower.
Exactly.
That resonated with me. Is that kind of where you're going with this?
Right. Take it, Lisa.
Yeah. You know, I've lived in a community housing development in a university setting, and the element of community, and I think just the social well-being around that, you know, having the access to potlucks and childcare sharing and children running around openly in playgrounds in a safe setting was a real eye-opener of a way of a transparent way to live within your community and to get, I think, the support that we often need from others in kind of a more spontaneous setting where we're bumping into each other in the park and we can have a conversation as opposed to, you know, arranging a play date with our children and some of the agenda difficulties that come with that. So I think, you know, creating a community in which people can live within each other still while maintaining your privacy and your independence and your own livelihood. But I think in a setting in which it invites more opportunity for togetherness. And so I think that's what we're looking to do. But also in the architecturally setting of a healthy home, local building materials, all the bells and whistles of all the energy efficiencies that make sense, you know, and have the home create that healthy well-being inside. And that's kind of, our walls do that, make people feel much more secure and stable, I think, just right. Because they are themselves.
Right. Go ahead.
That, I mean, that just really hits home to me. I mean, we're emotional creatures, you know. We all hope, you know, we all want to feel good. And that's really what we're all trying to do if we're really thinking. That hits close to home. If that's what I've been trying to do with this Art of Construction tribe. And that's why I call it my tribe. And then we interview these people and we all come together. And whether it's, you know, Art of Construction digitally or building structures, at the end of the day, it's all about caring for each other and being healthy human beings. Right. Shout out to Show of 111, where Brian Watson founded a company called Proximity, and that's a software for co-working that we actually use in our experience centers that we're creating. And Art of Construction is facilitating these experience centers, like you guys are part of with Bryce and Tradecraft. And so these places where these awesome people come together to work, but also putting that into a living environment is kind of what I'm hearing from you, because co-working is a hot deal right now. And working, as Brian says, there's something about putting your pants on in the morning and going to work, that there's real mindset to that versus just kind of sitting at home and doing whatever, of getting into a community. But that's where I call this the fireside chat, when all of us in the Art of Construction tribe are around that fire having these conversations to borrow and learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And you guys are, your concept, if I'm understanding it right, is you'd like to actually build that into having those shared resources like lawnmowers and daycare.
Well, potentially that'd be great. I think the village defined what the village needs. In that sense, I think we are looking to build a show home here in the Denver region area that hopefully will be a example of what a community village could look like, you know, from kind of a building point of construction point of view.
We're on a land search right now.
Yeah.
So would you guys build it yourself, or are you looking for somebody to partner with to build it out of your materials?
We'll be building it out of our materials, and we're looking to partner with other vendors and other builders that have the similar mindset. You know, we want the most sustainable toilet and shower system and light bulb and, you know, all the elements that go into it. We want it to really sing.
And that's where I like to be a small part of the construction arena. We call the art of construction, is that it's hard to put all the best stuff together and connect those dots. And this is a call to action for us all here, is to say, Jim has a lot of experience. We have an author, Lisa, who has wrote a book and put in the 10,000 hours here. And then the sports analogy, when Peyton Manning came and we won the Super Bowl, is because he knew how to do the audibles and knew how it works. So Jim knows how to call the audibles. Lisa's wrote the book. Now they want to go with a call to action. This is where we have to listen to people like this and say, hey, maybe I should try something different instead of just being one of all the other builders lined up doing sticks and bricks, or Jim likes to call it kindling, right?
You used it first on this podcast.
Fair enough. I used it. I got educated by Jim, and I definitely, you can paint the picture when you see that versus...
I've also heard him call these houses that go up, look at all that sawdust and glue. Yeah,
when you drive past and you see, you know, just these two-story houses side by side by side by side, hundreds of them in the plywood and glue phase, you know. I was a volunteer fireman for a little while in California, and I just look at that and go, my, oh, my.
So that's the other
thing. No sense going here.
We haven't talked about so much is the fireproof aspect of our walls.
Well, yeah, you can't burn dirt. And we're fireproof. Absolutely.
We've done the testing on it, blasted the wall with how many millions of tons?
Well, we had to do, it was kind of humorous. We did a 13-unit, I made the blocks for a 13-unit apartments in San Antonio. So it was inside a city limits of a major U.S. city. And the building department required, you know, a fire test. And it was like, it's earth, you know, but we had to do it. And
but that's an important point, is we kind of have to, if we're going to do this, we got to kind of challenge the status quo of how the building departments. So yeah. Cool companies like Emu Systems has been on the podcast of developing these fire tests that you guys talked about, where you had to do of how do you put this documentation in place. You know, we did a interview on straw bale houses, and they're really struggling on trying to get their code. You know, how do you do the inspection? Because the inspectors are used to seeing the sticks and bricks. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of talk to us about how we would all, if we're interested in this, how do we go about as the Art of Construction tribe to challenge the status quo?
That's a great question. And obviously it's kind of one of our missions in this process. There are building codes all around the world that accommodate earthen walls. The U.S. uses the New Mexico Building Code. And Jim and I sit on committees with the Earth Builders Guild in New Mexico that's trying to improve the code, because it does warrant some additions. When I was in New Zealand, they have, I think, one of the best Earth Building Codes book in the
it
world.
It is the best.
Three it booklets, you know, 100 pages each, really outlining the materials, the workmanship, and the engineering. So the codes are one thing, and really pushing on it, keeping, I mean, we've even had to work at keeping the earth building in the code, in the International Building Code. It almost got dropped. And there were a few of us that were like, wait, no, we still use it.
We're still doing that.
So yeah. So keeping it in the code, keeping the testing, keeping it, pushing it to the, getting a seat at the table and doing fire testing and energy testing. Right. That we're doing now.
Our best, I have said for years, our best marketing tool is walk them in the door. You know, if you can just get some up and people are in them, I can stand up there and do these PowerPoints and point to charts and graphs and temperature and heat control and blah, 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 blah. But you walk them in the door and they feel it right away. You can't describe it. It's cool. It's quiet. It's fireproof, soundproof, bugproof, bulletproof. My first one that I lived in Pagosa that I built, I kind of joked that I would look out the window and I'd say, oh, look, the pine trees are all bent over. The wind must be blowing. Didn't feel it in my house.
Yeah. Well, that's important stuff, right? Back to the emotions and the feeling of your house, you know, that making a house your home is seeing is believing. So do you guys, is there any in Colorado or the you built one in Pagosa, you said, are there any show homes out there? Or is that kind of the big push now? Have you guys wanted to get one built that you could, you know, video and try to tell the story to get people to come through it? That's kind of where you're at now, right?
It is. Now, I built a lot of them in southwestern Colorado around Pagosa and Durango. I built there for 10 years. And there's a lot of them down there. And they're beautiful, if I don't say so myself. But no, we don't have one that we can walk people in the door here in Denver. And that's what we want to do.
Gotcha. So what are some other terms? You got me super intrigued here. I want to learn more. And I can, you know, you guys as the new pioneers for something that kind of is not very prevalent on Googling it or in the building codes. If I Google, what are some of the terms? Let's just do, you know, what are some of the terms you'd hear for your product that you use in these Adobe style houses?
Well, so earth
abbreviations, earth block. What is
earth blocks? Is if you go to earth blocks or compressed earth blocks, if you
that's Google, it, okay.
You'll get a lot of information. Yeah.
Okay.
Or I saw CEB as the, you know, we all like acronyms in our world. So
yeah. Well, and there's
compressed earth blocks is CEB. And right. Then back when we talked about green and all these companies calling all this stuff green or different names, and there's all these, you know, foam insulated concrete forms. We've interviewed people like that, and they talk about how they're the only, you know, they're the best thing for fireproofing, but they're still making a product. You guys are using earth products to make your product, right?
Right. Yeah. So yeah, we typically get us back to kind of like our production and how we make the blocks is we like to be near quarry. So that's kind of where we are now. And we whistle over the truck and they bring the material that they don't want. They can't really use this material for anything else.
Yeah. We like quarries because they're after sand and gravel and boulders. And they frequently have these enormous piles that they call overburden. We had a guy in Montrose who owned a quarry say, if you'll help me use this stuff up, you can set up right here for free. You know,
wow. It's just, so the products that you guys want to use are seen as waste from others.
Right, yes. Exactly. And wow. the pile we're using right now that is enough to rebuild Denver is 3/4 of a mile from our machinery.
Yeah. Huh.
It's not coming from China.
And there's no, you know, I think we just want to emphasize there's no firing of our materials. The material comes over, we screen it. We put it in our mixer, we add the stabilizer, and we hydrate it very little with the compressed earth blocks.
Very little water used in this.
It's just a sprinkle that's 10%. Enough to hold the material together. And then they go straight onto the pallet, and from the pallet, they go into the wall. Yeah. So
Fired bricks are really beautiful, but the manufacturing of them is an environmental disaster. The amount of... You know, I lived in Mexico for a while, and you see the kilns just puking out black smoke. And in India, it's an air quality issue. Unbelievable, you know, because they're firing, burning. And they're burning wood, you know, which is like, we need the trees to breathe. You know, we should not be cutting those things down.
And that's kind of the earth circle of bringing it all back together is what you're saying is the methods of the manufacturing for this is very different than the methods of manufacturing for some of the competitor products is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, if we're talking about embodied energy, the amount of energy it takes to produce a material or product. Yeah. We are the lowest.
We are the lowest.
The lowest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we've been putting down sticks and timber and lumber a lot, but there's also the cement industry, the concrete industry is very damaging to
all of the vehicles in the world puking their exhaust into the atmosphere account for 6% of the CO2. And I've read two different numbers for the production of Portland cement, and it's either 7 or 8%. So that it's huge what the waste, the environmental damage done by the creation of Portland cement. We all use it. It's, you know, king of the world. We ought to do better pretty quick. And that's,
well, I appreciate it. And I mean, that's, it's hard to, the whole what's in it for me that we live in versus what's in it for everybody else is something that we have to all work on, because the word green just, when I hear that word, it's like, it's become this marketing word, and it's all these people to try to, at the end of the day, what's in it for me is they want to have the best value at the lowest cost. But if you're cutting corners to have an unhealthy home, what are you really gaining by cutting those corners is the message that I'm hearing from this conversation.
Well, that's the right message.
Right.
You know, it's a, can you see as far as the end of your nose, or do you want grandchildren?
There you go. Well, I commend you guys for taking this journey. What's the best way to get in touch with you guys to learn more about what you're doing here at Colorado Earth, or being the new pioneers of this product, of being out there talking about regenerative and these amazing things that we need to be looking at more, especially as water and land and resources are getting harder and harder to come about? Lisa?
Yeah, so our website, ColoradoEarth.com, and there's lots of pictures, and you also can learn about our workshops. One of our missions is to educate. One of our major missions is to educate, and so we put on hands-on workshops every year, typically in the summer, here in Colorado, and you can come and experience making blocks and building walls and putting in an arch and a lintel over a window and installing the bond beam and applying plaster. We take people all the way through the process, and our experience has been people fall in love at that point with Jim. And then they go out and build their own home, or want to. So it's a great way to learn hands-on. Yeah.
Our last one was a very successful, the one that Lisa just described, where we took the whole thing from soup to nuts, you know, from manufacturing blocks to finished plaster on the building. We did it in a week. It was a very small building. It was an outhouse. The name of the workshop was Babs, B-A-B-S, for build a brick shit house.
Compost toilet.
Oh, you guys are so cool. I'm so honored to come across you guys and have you guys share your story here on the Art of Construction. And we're cheering you on. Check out the show notes. This will live global and timeless. Another touch point of you guys telling your story. So thanks for coming in and doing such a great job.
Thanks, Devin.
Right. Thank you, Devin. Awesome. Great. All right.
Wow, what a story. And so cool to meet these people and all of us to hear these stories of passions that are like, wow, I didn't even know. And you don't know what you don't know. So try something to think about. Like, if you want to do something different, and maybe we need to be new pioneers of something that's always been here. And there's been so many great conversations like this we've had. If you're interested, reach out to them. They have so much passion and they give so much. Maybe you should reach out to them and say, hey, I want to build with your product. And then give it a try and look at it as an alternative to separate yourself in the construction arena we like to call the art of construction, instead of just doing it the same old way. So challenge the status quo. I'm calling myself out. I'm going to do the same. Art of Construction is looking at doing some show homes ourselves. So, hey, maybe we'll be the one that looks at it and document this. So that's what this whole evolution is all about. Of all the hundreds of people I've interviewed, you know, you go back to show 103, where Noni Proust talked about creating healthier interior environments, and all these different shows from, you know, the Nevis building houses in Nepal. I've had the pleasure of meeting hundreds of amazing people, and now it's my job to connect that. And we have to, when we think big, we can really make changes, but we have to start small by making that change. So, Tribe, thanks so much for listening. We have so much exciting stuff coming down the pike. And I can't wait to get your stories. Hit us up on the message board or social media to get involved with the movement. Tribe, we're growing and having so much fun. Thanks so much for telling such an awesome story. and see the show notes for all the details to get involved with Colorado Earth and their compressed earth blocks. Crush it out there, tribe.